All right, guys, welcome back to the Book of Luke podcast. This is episode 2, and today we're going to talk about faith. I'm going to be quite honest with everybody. This is the fourth episode that I've shot. Not to say this is the fourth episode I've shot. This is the fourth time I've shot this episode. I guess they're all different. I don't have them. There's been issues with... You don't want to hear about that. It's been the audio, visual. A lot of issues, but this time we've prayed over it. I feel like the enemy might have a little bit to say about that. Whatever. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep on keeping on, and we're going to keep on sharing God's word, no matter what takes, no matter how many times I got to shoot this episode. So, with that being said, today we're talking about faith, and faith is something, believe it or not, that's not talked about enough. Seriously. Faith is one of those things that, guys, it's the foundation, it's the rock of our relationship with Christ. People say it's forgiveness, but it's faith in Him that He gives us the forgiveness, right? Faith is how we get things done. Faith is how we advance. Faith is how we believe in the healings and all the amazing things that God has to give us. Faith is how we receive the Holy Spirit of God, and faith is how we're able to hear from God, and faith is how we're able to understand the Bible. With that being said, we should begin to talk about it more, because I think there's too many cultural, followers of Christ and not enough actual followers of Christ. And what I mean by that is there's so many people in this world right now, guys, and if you might be one of them, that culturally follow Christ. And what I mean by culturally following Christ is, think about it. Are you that guy that has that Bible verse on their Instagram, in their bio, that goes out and does all the things that doesn't look like Jesus? Are you that person that claims to love God and only talks about Him when you're drunk? Are you that person that claims to love and follow Christ, that has a Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me with a heart in their bio, but they're out sleeping around and getting their satisfaction from sex rather than Him? I mean, seriously. And I'm not blaming you or judging you. I'm not. I'm seriously not. I'm just asking you, are you culturally following Christ? Or when you walk around every single day and you grow, are you growing in Him and looking more like Him each day? Because that's the difference. Culturally following Christ, you're not getting nowhere. Actually following Jesus, you're going to see your life transform. And when you walk into a room, people are going to see that it happens too. He talks about that in Titus chapter 1. I'm going to get to it here, but basically what Titus chapter 1 talks about is just the difference between culturally and actually following Christ. And with that, guys, with culturally and actually following Christ, you have so much to build off of. So after that, it goes into how a man and a woman and how a husband and wife should act. And I'm not going to get into that today. I'm just going to talk about the scriptures that Titus 1 says. Titus 1 is talking about rebuking those who fail to do good, but we're not going to talk about rebuking these people. I'm talking about, and by the way, it's not about works, it's about faith, and I'm about to give you that good news in a second, but Titus chapter 1 verse 16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. So what that means is, they might claim Jesus in their life, but they deny Him by their actions. So you might claim to know Jesus, but you don't look like Him. You don't look like a follower. You don't look like a disciple. You don't look like someone that follows Christ. Your actions don't portray who you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. Your identity isn't with Christ Jesus. And that's where faith comes in. If all you have is faith that Jesus forgives you, and the next step with that is, you live your life how you're supposed to live it, and then you just claim your forgiveness, and you use Jesus as just your, the person that forgives you, and then you go to heaven. What kind of relationship is that? Jesus is not supposed to be somebody on your back burner. Jesus is not supposed to be somebody that, you just say, okay, well, He's my way to heaven, but I'm just going to live the life how I want to. No. You're supposed to have faith in Him that, not only are you going to get the access to heaven, but the Bible says you can inherit the kingdom of heaven on earth. There's a lot of parameters in that. Jesus talks about how you must forgive others to inherit the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that's true. But not only does he ask to forgive others, he says you have to be born of water and of spirit, right? We get saved and then we get baptized, whether it's getting dunked or sprinkled and whatever. It doesn't matter. Baptism of water doesn't clean you of your sins. Baptism of water shows the world that you have been cleaned of your sins, that the blood of Christ covers you, and you admit that, and you want to share with the world that you have been saved and you have been reborn in Christ. There's a conversation that Jesus had in, I think it's John 3. It's John chapter 3, and Jesus has with this Pharisee named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is one of the higher up Pharisees. So anyway, but he was one of the only Pharisees that's like interested in Christ, you know, like actually being the Messiah. Nicodemus is one of those people that's like, okay, I've seen the miracles. I think he's the Son of God. Where all these other people are like, blasphemy, 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 blasphemy. He doesn't obey the law of Moses. No, well, Jesus obviously came as God, so he didn't have to. It says this, very truly I tell you, this is what Jesus is saying in verse 3, John 3, 3. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And then Nicodemus is like, what are you talking about? How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time in their mother's womb to be born. That's verse 4. Duh. I wonder how that conversation went. You're talking to the Son of God and you're like, this is the first time you're hearing something like, well, you have to be reborn. He's like, well, I'm big now. I can't go back there. Jesus is like, no. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be reborn. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit of God. So baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is where faith comes in, guys. Because I'm going to tell you this. You want to activate your faith? You want to get yourself that first test of trusting God? Ask God for the Holy Spirit of God to come live and reside in you. I'm not saying you don't have it already, but what I am saying is, what happened with Jesus is Jesus lived a sin-free life. And this is where your faith starts, right? Jesus lived a sin-free life, came to earth as a man, the Son of God, the Christ. Performed miracles, did all these things, did amazing, wondrous things. Died on the cross for our sins, a brutal death. And we're going to talk about the crucifixion one day. That we're going to go into detail about actually how much worse it is than the image that you have in your head. But with that being said, he died that brutal death. And then he rose again from the grave 3 days later and left the Holy Spirit of God with everybody. He left the Holy Spirit of God behind for us to learn and help and guide us. And with that being said, the Holy Spirit of God is not just in the apostles. The Holy Spirit of God is in us. And if that means we're the apostles, then we are. I believe we are still, I think every single one of us alive right now that's following Christ is a disciple of Christ. So if you want to say this, Acts of Apostles, the book of Acts is still being written. That's what my pastor likes to say, and I agree. But here's where things are going to get divided, which is fine with me because Jesus says he didn't come to make the peace or keep the peace. He came to make the peace. He came as a sword. And sometimes that means your house is divided. But I want you to hear me now. You want to know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven and you're going to be saved? Well, that's fine. It's very easy. You accept Christ in your heart and you start pursuing him. You want to know that you know that you know you have the Holy Spirit of God in your life? You got to see the evidence. How do you see the evidence? What's the Bible say? That there's something called the fruits of the Spirit. There's the gifting of the Holy Spirit. You don't know how you have it? You know the easiest way? There's other ways. You know the easiest way? Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. This is when the Holy Spirit comes. What does it say? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, all the apostles. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. Watch this, guys. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and listen, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Clearly, the Bible says that we can speak in the Holy Ghost. Clearly, the Bible says that we can speak in a prayer language. Clearly, the Bible says that's a gift of the Holy Spirit of God. With that, you want to know that you have the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you, the creator of the universe, creator of everything, the God that's outside of time, the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the creator of all things, the father of all heaven, the one that's outside of time, the one that, I've said that twice, but the one that's been forever, that's bigger and greater and stronger than everything. Ask him for your prayer language. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Feel it in your heart. Begin to pray in the Spirit of God. Happens to me all the time. I do it when I don't know what to say. I do it when I don't know how to pray for people. I do it all the time. And a lot of y'all denominations out there, I'm not coming at you. I really ain't. You're going to say, whoa, it has to be an interpreter. Well, I used to say that same thing too. There's a tongue speaker and there's an interpreter. Well, guess what? I can interpret my tongues. I can sit here and speak in tongues to you because God gave me a word. The Holy Spirit of God put it on my heart. And then guess what I can say? I can tell you what that means. Sometimes in my prayer language alone, I don't really speak in tongues over people a whole lot, but when I'm by myself, I do it all the time. I really do, sincerely. So I speak in the prayer language of God, and then I you know, whatever that means, God, it's not only does it you know, prove to me that the Holy Spirit of God lives within me. Not only is it something that, you know, helps my faith, but it's something that eases me, makes me feel way better, cures so much. And now I want to go into something that might step on some toes. I made a video a couple days ago, and I'm not going to go crazy into this. I made a video a couple days ago talking about Jesus over pills, and especially like the hard pills that you don't need to take, right? But with that, there is a problem, a cultural problem, where people like to run to the doctor for mental health. I think mental health is propagandized into a problem way bigger than it is, and kids don't know the difference between excitement and anxiety. There's a difference. Kind of feels similar. But it really opened my eyes when two of my youth kids, especially one of them, came up to me and asked me, you know, how to help their anxiety. They're on anxiety medication. When do you get anxious? Well, before I play my softball games. You say you get anxious before you play your softball game? Yeah, it's called being nervous. That happens. I mean, you don't need pills for that, right? Let me preface. I'm not coming at everybody that's on anxiety medication. I'm not saying whatever. I'm saying there's too many people that run to the doctor first. I think our first step should be running to church and trying to fix our mental health problems spiritually before we involve the psychiatrist. And I'm not trying to put you out of work. I'm just telling you the truth. That you want to fix spiritual problems with spiritual answers, right? Spiritual problems need to be fixed with spiritual solutions. And I think any mental health problem is a false prophet. Anxiety, depression, psychosis, panic disorder, eating disorder, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Paranoia. Like, these problems are false prophets, masked of demons, the demonic presence in your life that's been spoken over you, and, well, you're giving into it. And you're trying to mask it, put a Band-Aid over it like it's something that is going to go away eventually. No, if I take pills for anxiety every single day of my life, it's not like one day you're just going to stop taking pills until you're better. It's not like that. This is a Band-Aid forever. And then you're just making your body and emotions numb. God didn't give you emotions, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. God didn't give you a soul to numb. He gave you a soul to feel. Right? And it feels good to feel. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to feel. You know what faith is? Faith is praising through the joy and praising through the sorrow. Faith is praising through the anxiety and praising through the depression. Faith is not always easy. Brandon Lake just made a song. He gave me a hard-fought hallelujah. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to say it. but every single time it's necessary. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Guys, listen, anxiety will come, but you can rebuke it in Jesus' name because that's not what God gave you. You can know that that's a false prophet and say, leave in Jesus' name because you have the authority granted you by the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus left behind. The Bible says you can do more than Jesus did here if you have faith. If you have faith, you can do more than Jesus did. I'm going to see what happens when one of Jesus' disciples, and you are one of them, want to see what happens when one of Jesus' disciples takes his eyes off Christ and loses faith? Jesus, after he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus goes to pray on a mountainside by himself. And this is, if you want to read for yourself, this is Matthew chapter 14. Jesus goes up to pray on a mountainside by himself, and the apostles are leaving into a storm by boat. And basically what happens is the storm comes. You know, they're fishermen, so they know how to handle this kind of stuff, but it's a really, really, really bad storm. Anyway, Jesus looks over and he sees all this, and he leaves, and he starts walking on the water towards the boat. Okay, seriously, Jesus starts walking on the water towards Jesus starts walking towards the boat, and when the disciples saw him, it literally says they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. They literally thought it was a ghost. But Jesus immediately said to them, no, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. That's chapter 14, verse 27. And Simon Peter's like, okay, well, if it's you, Lord, then tell me to come out in the water. I'll be able to walk out. And he's like, surely I tell you, come on. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind and he saw the storm, he was afraid and began to sink. See what happens? See what happens when one of the disciples of Christ starts to take their eyes off Christ and starts losing a little bit of faith in him? Even though they've seen him do all these miracles, even Simon Peter, they've seen him do everything, starts losing faith, and he sunk. He was just walking on the water. He still lost faith in Christ. Jesus reached out his hand and said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? All the apostles started worshiping and said, truly are the Son of God, which obviously they knew already. They already knew he was the Son of God. But even you, to this day, can show little faith or a lot. I want 2 things. I want Jesus to look at me and tell me that I had the most faith. And when I walk into the heaven, when I go to heaven, I want Jesus to hug me and say, enter thy loyal and faithful servant. I can't wait. 2 things. 2 things you should want too. As a follower of Christ, not a cultural follower of Christ, but an actual follower of Christ, those are the things that you should want. And when I talk about anxiety and depression, I cast all these things. Somebody commented on my Facebook post, and I'm not trying to bring this up, but I'm going to tell you this. They compare it to chemo and cancer. Well, how about that? That means I don't need chemo for cancer. If you're saying Jesus over pills, well, I believe that if you have enough faith that God can heal your cancer, then absolutely he can. I don't believe that there's anything that can best God. Let me ask you a question. If you don't think our healer, God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, is bigger, better, stronger, and greater than the most death-defying, scariest, most malicious and vicious cancerous tumor, if you don't think my God can snap his fingers and say it to be gone, then you and me don't believe in the same God. You and me don't believe in the same God. If you don't believe that my God is bigger and better and stronger than anything, the one that lives outside of time, if you don't believe that my God can heal the worst sickness, the worst anxiety, the worst mental health, the worst anything. If you meet him where he's at and have enough faith in him, and you will be completely healed of everything, then you and me don't believe in the same God. I believe if you put your faith in Christ, accept the Holy Spirit of God in your life, that you will have the joy of the Lord, the fulfillment and the purpose of Christ Jesus, and you can have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. You just gotta have faith. Jesus, we come to you right now, Father God, and we just thank you for everybody watching and listening, Father God. We just thank you for, you know, their souls, God, that they're coming to you right now, that you're working in their lives, God, that if they're following you culturally, God, that they come and turn to you and actually follow you.